continue from where we left off last week. Okay? How many of you remember what we talked about last week? You're responsible. Okay. We talked about prayer. We talked about how we need to be praying prayers of faith. Right? And it is so important that faith needs to arise from each one of us. You know, the person who is receiving the prayer, whether it's for healing or for anything like that, needs to have faith. Okay? And Jesus, every time he comes and, you know, before he does the healing, he, you know, sometimes asks, hey, what do you want me to do? Isn't it obvious? He asked the blind man, so what do you want me to do? I want to see lah. Alright, it's obvious, but why does he still do it? He does it so that he encourages faith of the person that is going to receive that healing, so that faith will arise. Then there are other times whereby he encouraged faith of a third party. You know, Jairus' daughter sick. In fact, after a while, in the midst of traveling, someone said, came and says, hey, don't bother Jesus anymore. You know, your daughter already dead. You know? And he turns to the father now and says, have faith. Believe. And so it is important also for us as a community to let faith arise for the sake of someone else. Okay? And also we talked about how at times, you know, the person who is responsible for praying needs to have faith. The disciples went off and came back to Jesus and says, you know, Lord, paraphrase, something's not right. We pray, but, you know, these guys cannot get healed. And Jesus' response is this, no faith. Okay? You have little faith. All right? So, all parties need to exercise faith. And therefore, as a community, as a church together, we need to exercise faith for one another. All right? And that's what we talked about. And so, coming back to James chapter 5, we read that passage again. You know, it is, if you read books, right, and if you like to read a lot, realize that the beginning and the ending is significant, right? How the plot is set up is very significant to the story, and then what is at the ending is very important, okay? So you look at the book of James, what is at the ending is important. What is before that, right at the beginning, he also, you know, what did he talk about? He talked about enduring, okay, persevering. Consider pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. You know, we got to run this. And then he ends the book by saying, you need to run this. If you don't know what to do, pray lah. Alright? And this is how we need to pray. If is any one of you in trouble, verse 13, he should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him. Here we see what we talked about, an act of faith coming out from the person. Because it goes on to say, pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. So whose prayer is that? It's the elders who need to arise in faith. And then, it goes on to say, scripture goes on to say, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other, pray for each other, so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and powerful and effective. And then he gives the example of Elijah in the next two verses. Pray for one
another.
Today I want to talk about the elements, or some people who, you know, like cooking, the ingredients of a prayer of faith that James lists out here. A couple of things is mentioned. So we'll focus primarily on verse 14 and 15 today. Verse 14 says this, is any one of you sick, he should call the elders. Elders play a part in this process of the prayer of faith. And here, the elders, you know, obviously has reference to the leaders of church, the ones who are in that position of governance. But let me say this, it is not the position that is important, but the character that makes the difference, the character of faith. So there are people in our lives, you know, if you have been in this church long enough, you have heard me say this, if you want to soar like eagles, don't hang around turkeys, right? Okay, who you hang around with will inevitably rub into you and help you to take you to where you want to go. So if you hang around turkeys, every day you will, you know, just run around and gobble, gobble, gobble. And that's all you do, right? But you hang around eagles, you will begin to learn how to fly. You will begin to also learn the difficulties that it takes, how you need to persevere to be an eagle. And so, we need people of bold faith in our lives. Now, before we can start, you know, looking for people, you must first look at the person in the mirror, you yourself, okay? And ask yourself and says, hey, where's my level of faith right now? Okay. You know, examine our hearts and say, God, where am I at in my relationship with you? Because that's important. And understanding where we are, we can then look at how or where we want to go in the future. Now, here's the problem. It is a problem in, I think, well, all generations. A lot of times, we think that we are more okay than we are okay. In fact, Paul says this, don't think of yourself, don't think too highly of yourself. Okay? But consider yourself with sober judgment. In other words, allow the Lord to help each one of us evaluate where we are at, who we are, what kind of character we possess. Allow the Lord to do that. And that's the first step that we need to take. And then step B is this. Go find some elders. Okay. And I'm making reference here. Of course, here, you know, this passage has reference to the elders of the church. But I'm helping us to apply this. Not only come to the pastors. Of course, it refers to, you know, the pastors of the church. Do that. But there are some others in your circle. Maybe your CG leaders. Right? And if you are a young Christian, someone who can help you on in your faith, pray for me. One of the things that we do in this church and we want to do in this church is we are big on this whole area of accountability. Why do you think so? It's not so that we govern your life. You tell us what's happening to you, It's not so that, you know, I know every single thing that's happening and then I can, you know, manipulate you or... No, it's not that. It's accountability is coming and say, hey, pray for me, I'm going through this. Going to someone who dares, okay? Elders need to have this, alright? You need to have bold faith. Dare to believe in miracles. Right? And to be able to go to someone and say, pray for me. In fact, James says, pray for one another. Accountability is two ways. Not only one way. And we are big on that, and we need, as believers together, we need one another. We need to find people who are able to help us soar. If not, what's going to happen is we're going to, you know, walk around, bounce around, and gobble, 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 you know, all the time. We need that. So, on the practical side, the application side, who are your elders? Besides the church pastors. Your CG leaders. And perhaps there are others, you know, you can go to and say, hey, pray for me and sick. And they're going to release faith. But at the same time, whatever level of faith that we are at, there will be someone who also will come to us, because it says pray for one another, who will say, hey, release faith for me, can or not? And remember last week's message, right? We were talking about three areas. All three areas, whether you're the recipient, whether you're the one praying, or whether you're third party. All of us need to exercise faith. So, the first ingredient that we're talking about is elders. People who perhaps have gone ahead and have greater faith, bolder faith, whom we can say, pray for me. Whom we can go to and say, would you pray for me? I need faith. I need prayer. I need healing. So who are your elders? Quote unquote. Who are your elders? Do you go enough to them? Or do we have, yeah, it's okay lah. The Lord knows. Of course the Lord knows. But at the same time, the Lord has given us certain instructions. Don't just say, the Lord knows. Number two, you should call the elders of the church to pray over him. And what does the elders do? Anoint him with oil. Now, oil obviously has, in those days, I believe that there were two purposes of this. One is that there is medicinal value. Alright? There are different oils, you know, the leaders would carry, you know, different oils and they'll rub different oils, you know, and some of us, we have your oil stash at home. You know, your, whatever you have, like, you know, your Hong Yu, your Tiger Balm, your whatever, and all your essential oils and all that stuff, right? When you need healing. And so, there are medicinal properties in the oil. But yet, at the same time, I also believe that the anointing of oil is also an act of faith. It is an act that God can use to encourage faith. Last week we talked about this. We need to constantly encourage faith in one another. The disciples did this. They went around. Pray for one another, they anoint with oil. Turn with me. Mark chapter 6. Okay? Let's go there. It's good to read scripture and just, you know, re-emphasize what we're talking about. Mark chapter 6. And, reading from verse 7. Okay, the second part of verse 6. Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 with him. And then he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. Okay, note verse 8. These were his instructions. Take nothing for your journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belt. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. And verse 12, and when they went out and preached that people should repent, they drove out many demons, okay, and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. So, Jesus tells them, don't take anything except your staff. Okay? But obviously, they took oil as well, right? The context of this is this. Don't plan to stay. You got to be on the move. Stay as simple as possible. But take the things that you need to do, the ministry that God has given to you. And so, the disciples went around, and here, in this passage, it says they drove out many demons, they anoint many sick people with oil. And what happens? They got healed. They anoint sick people with oil and heal them. And so there is a part in the anointing oil. We read in the Old Testament, King Saul was anointed with oil. The leaders were anointed. In fact, sacred articles were anointed. And all that was part and parcel of the act to show that the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit is right there. Jesus, I'll turn to the New Testament and read one or two passages. In Luke chapter 4. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Verse 18. Luke 4, and 18, Jesus said this, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because, why? He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. A declaration that the Spirit of God plays a part in that whole anointing process. The Spirit of God plays a part in that whole anointing process. For us as believers, what happens to us? 1 John, just one passage, chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, says this. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. All of you who know the truth. All of us who know the truth of God have an anointing. We are anointed. A reference to the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's read down to verse 27. Verse 27 says this. As for you, the anointing you receive from Him remains in you. You do not need anyone to teach you. Why? But as His anointing teaches you about all things, and as the anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as He has taught you, remain in Him. So John is telling the believers there is an anointing, a presence of the Holy Spirit that is in us, that remains in us, that stays with us. Now, knowing that, what do we do about it? You know, as a young Christian, I have this complaint. Maybe some of us have it, had it, maybe still have it. We read the Bible and says, that's Jesus. He's Jesus, ma. So, he do can. I not Jesus, ma. You know, I do cannot. Jesus anointed, right? What's that anointing? Holy Spirit, correct? John tells us we have the same anointing. Stays in us. So, we need to encourage one another. The anointing is a symbol of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And when we pray, take oil, anoint lah. Because God can do wonders as we encourage faith. It is an act of encouraging faith as well. Can God heal without the oil? Of course, He can. But if we put those two things together, there's healing. Hey, I don't have oil. How? Give some vitamin C, you know. Here's some anointed vitamin C. Right. Two things. Because the elders had oil. And they used that as the anoint for healing. Medicinal value. Yet at the same time, to encourage faith, knowing that the anointing of God is with them. They encourage faith. And so, put these two things together. Healing. You know, in sports, we have this slogan. We say, spray and pray. Right? Or, you know, spray and pray. That spray is your anointing oil. All right, it doesn't have to be olive oil, right? Or whatever other oil that, I mean, if you have other oils, well and good. But that's it. Go to, you know, the team manager there and say, hey, suck it. You as a team manager or you as the medic or whatever, what do you do? Don't just say, go spray. Okay? Because they have come to us, we got to spray, pray, and what? Exercise faith, right? And allow God to do His healing. Number three. Let's go back to James. Back to James chapter 5. He says this. You should go to the elders of the church to pray over him, anoint him with oil, and then it says, anoint in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord, reference to His presence, His power, and His authority. In fact, scholars say this, and I quote, given the right context, that word name, it's a very common word used in many circumstances. But given the right context, it means a piece of the very nature of the personality whom it designates. Again, a piece of the very nature of the personality whom it designates. A piece. A piece that partakes in his qualities and in his powers. This is not any name. This is the name of the Lord. This is the name of the Almighty. John chapter 14. John 14. And reading from verse 12. John 14, 12. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. Oh, pause. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. Now, let's ask ourselves this. Do we do what Jesus has been doing? Guilty, guilty, Don't really do right. See someone sick, pray, look at you. More often than not, we let fear take over. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name. Not just I will do whatever you ask. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. And so, there is power and there is reference every single time we come to the Lord and say, God, would you do this? Ask it in the name of the Lord. There is power in the name of the Lord. In baptism, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Just turn to the scripture so that it seals it in our hearts. Verse 38. Peter replied, okay, to Acts chapter 2, basically, you know, Peter addresses the crowd, he preaches a sermon, and this guy says, okay, so what do we need to do? And his reply is this: repent, be baptized, every one of you, how? In the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Let's move on. Acts chapter 3. Just right there. Verse 6. In fact, Acts chapter 3, you know, Peter and John, they were walking around. Let's just read a couple of verses before that. And there was this guy who was begging, okay? He was crippled and he was begging. And it is interesting, as he was begging, let's read from verse 3. When they saw Peter and John enter, he asked them for money. Obviously, beggars ask for money, right? So this guy was there, he's crippled, he's sitting, and he's asking for money. And Peter's response is this. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And so, here again is that emphasis. I want money. He's looking for money. And Peter says, you know, come on, look at me. And here the passage emphasizes that he now looks at them and expects money. And then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have, I give to you. What does he have? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Two things, or at least two things. Faith in the name, power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has the faith, and he says that power and confidence in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he uses that, and healing comes. Go down to verse 16. You know, so there's this, after this happened, you know, he jumps up, he starts walking. Everybody says, hey, what's happening? All right? And Peter's testimony is this. Okay? By faith in the name of Jesus. This is how this happened. He says, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. In other words, now he can walk. What are those two things? By faith and in the name of Jesus. What is the name of Jesus to us? The world today, Hollywood today, has reduced the name of Jesus to a cuss word. Okay, if you don't want to swear anything else, just swear the name of Jesus. Hollywood has reduced the power of the name to that. What about each one of us? How often do we depend, be drawn towards, hold on, cling on to the name of Jesus? How often do we mention it as a declaration? I was sharing with my CG on Friday. When I first started driving, one of the things that I wanted to do was to, whoever comes in, doesn't matter what background, what religion you come from. Whoever comes into the car, for those of you who don't know, I drive Grab. Part time. Not all the time. I play worship songs. Okay? But here's the thing. There are some songs that if you're not a Christian, you don't know it's a Christian song. If you're a Christian, you know it's a Christian song. But the other songs it's right in your face one. Okay? It is, you know, Jesus all the time. Right. Every sentence, that's the name of the Lord. Every sentence, there's Jesus and Jesus Christ mentioned. And the first couple of times it's like, okay, there's this guy from, you know, perhaps a sensitive, or what we think is sensitive. Should I turn it down a little bit? Or blast it more. Some of us will say, yeah, let's give it to them, you know. What would our response be? Honestly, let me tell you this. Temptation to turn it down. And the word of God says, hey, you must not be ashamed of me. You know? Don't press the forward button. You know? Don't press the next. Okay, let's see what the next song is. You know, we need to declare and to make the name of the Lord part and parcel of our life, because there is healing, there is deliverance, there is provision. God is with us. That name is important. That name has power. And so back to James chapter 5. Call on the elders, number one. Anoint him with oil, number two. The name of the Lord, number three. And then verse 15 says, and the prayer offered in faith. The prayer offered in faith. Number four, the fourth ingredient is the prayer. It is not the faith of the prayee, you know, the person praying. It is the prayer that is offered in faith. That means something must go up to the Lord. Something must come out. The prayer. Don't just say, oh, you're sick. I'm believing for healing for you. I got faith. Not good enough. Here, you know, take some oil and, you know, whack on your forehead or something like that. Not good enough. There needs to be the active prayer of faith. Huh? It's not just prayer. It's a prayer of faith. That is the thing. Out of all this, that is the thing. The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Faith alone is very important. And we said, all parties need to have faith. Okay? The person praying, the one who is sick and wanting healing, and also, you know, the people that are around. Everybody, faith needs to arise. But hey, wait a minute, don't just stop there. Don't just say, let's believe for this to happen. Shout it out, man. The prayer offered is the thing that saves, that heals, that keeps us from harm, that perseveres, that rescues. It is that prayer. How bold are we in our prayers? Guilty, yeah. Sure, all of us guilty. Someone says, hey, pray for me. I'm not feeling well. And our response is this. Okay, I'll pray for you. And after that, we walk away. We forget about it. Forget. And then until next week, we see the person again. Hey, how are you? Oh, you're still coughing. Yeah. Then we forgot to pray. 1 whole week, never pray. Or pray for me, I'm sick, and then, okay, I pray for you. Then the next time we meet the person, they come and say, hey, thanks for praying, you know, God just healed. But then we dare not say, you know, but I didn't pray or forgot. God must have, you know, answered your prayer, not my prayer. So the challenge is this. Pray for me, So we stop and say, when we say yes, pray now. Why? Because it is the prayer, not only faith. Right? The prayer offered by faith. And so we need to be bold to be praying all the time. Paul says, pray continuously. Without ceasing. And that act itself needs to be something that is ongoing in our lives. One final one that is not mentioned here. And we need this in our church so as to encourage faith as well. The fifth ingredient that I want to highlight is the word amen. Amen basically means so be it. It is a solemn agreement. Let's go. It's a commitment, you know. Let me show you. Deuteronomy. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Okay. 27. Deuteronomy 27. And you know, there's this recitation with the whole of Israel, right? And verse 14. This is the command that Moses gave. You can read that in verse 11, right? Verse 12, when you cross the Jordan, the tribe shall stand. All right, bless the people. Verse 14, and the Levites shall recite to all the people of Israel in a loud voice, cursed is the man who craves an image or casts an idol, a thing detestable to the Lord, the work of the craftsman's hand, and sets up in secret. And then all the people shall say, amen. And it goes on, next one. Cursed is the man who dishonors his father and mother. Then all the people say, and it goes on, one after another, you know. The people, the congregation as a whole, in fact, the nation together said this, amen, so be it. They make an agreement that this is going to be the case. It is a commitment, it is an agreement with whatever that has been declared. 1 Chronicles. Chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And David sings a psalm of thanksgiving. Go back and read this. You know, we've been talking about giving thanks, so go back and read this. We don't have time to read it here. And then verse 36, at the end of it, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. He ends his declaration, his song, his psalm of thanks. He ends it. He says, praise the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And then all the people said, amen, and praise the Lord. A declaration that, yes, this is the case. That is who God is. We give thanks for who God is. I agree. Let it be done. Praise the Lord. You read in the New Testament, you know, Paul does this, Peter does this, John does this. After every, towards the end of the epistle, they say, amen. Let it be so. In fact, Jesus was called the amen. Revelation. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. And Revelation 3:14, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds. And he goes on and so forth. These are the words of the Amen. Literally translated, the truly. The truly. This is true. Now, we as a church need to say, pray for one another, right? We say, encourage faith, right? We need to come together and have more amens. When you say that, you will make a commitment. Because a lot of times we pray, and the amen is like, you know, okay lah, who's turn to pray next? The amen is as if, okay, my turn finished already. So I signal my prayer finish with amen, your turn next. No! It is a commitment to agree that this is what we're going to do together. I agree. Amen. Need practice, right? Amen. You know? Different people do things differently. Okay? To psych yourself up. You know? Psych yourself up. You know? JC go and look at do push-ups. Look at himself in the mirror and say, can one. So next time you look at the mirror and you do push-ups, say, amen. Us somehow. Why? Because it encourages, it does something in our inner being. And we need to be bold to say together, collectively, as a church, if we want to begin to exercise prayers of faith, come together and say amen. You watch a lot of movies, right? So there's this nuclear attack. You know, and the U.S. president is next to the Secretary of Defense, and they want to launch a nuclear attack. And I don't know how true this is, you know, but this is what the movies tell you, lah. They bring two boxes out, two, you know, computer thing. They open it up, and each one of them has a tag which they plug in. They key in some code, and then simultaneously, they got to turn the key together and press the button together. Huh? Think about that. There's you and the next person sitting next to you. God's given us that authority, that power. His Spirit dwells within us. And it's like, hey, you know, let's launch a nuclear attack against the enemy. And this guy says, ha, yala, shoot la. I pray for you. That's what we do. And what we need to be doing is putting our card in, punching the numbers and said, ready? Amen. That amen is saying that we are in this together, we are committed together, let's turn the key, let's press, you know, that detonator together. So be it. It encourages faith. So five things, just for today,
学良母, that we need ingredients of praying prayers of faith. In our CGA on Friday, we committed to do this, to pray for one another in the whole CGA, at least 3 times a day. Okay? Whenever you give thanks for your meal, you pray specifically and release faith for the people in your CG. As I speak here in the church, I want to challenge all of us as a church to begin to do that as well. To say, hey, I need to exercise. I need to pray out. Don't just say, okay, I'll be praying for you. Yes, out. Amen. Pray for one another. Encourage faith. Check on one another. In the name of the Lord. Go anoint with oil. No oil, give probiotics or vitamin C or whatever, you know. Encourage that. Let's press the keys in together. Amen? Let's bow our heads right now. Jesus. As our heads are bowed, let's just come before the Lord and ask the Lord, Lord, where am I at my faith level right now? There's all this power that you have given that is available to each one of us. How do we tap into that power? How do we tap into that power? And perhaps we sit here and we have gone astray, or we don't know what this power means. And we want to experience this power. We want to experience God. We want to have a relationship with God. Then at the end of tonight's service, go and talk to someone. Go and say, you know, I need to know God. There is something missing about my life. I need to know God. You know, Jesus, I need you. Come into my life. I want to experience what Pastor is talking about. For the rest of us here, we've got to come before the Lord and evaluate our lives and ask God to help us evaluate. Say, God, what does it take for me right now to begin to activate faith, to pray prayers of faith in my life, to go to that next level? So whether you're a Christian or not, we need God. Tonight we need to say, God, I need more of you. I need to live the life that you have called me to. I need to extend greater faith. How do I do that? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are faithful to your word. Whatever you say, you will do. And so, Father, we want to give you thanks for that. And right now, Lord Jesus, I ask in Jesus' name that you would come and speak to every single person that is seated here right now. Lord, you know each and every one of us. You know our hearts. You know our condition. You know our thoughts. So I ask in Jesus' name that your presence would come and touch and convict and cause each one of us to take that bold step to say, God, I want to experience you more and more and more. Beginning right now from today, I want to make a change. I want you to be in my life in a greater capacity. Forward movement. touch our hearts right now. Speak to us. Cause faith to arise. For this we ask and we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.